will ask you a couple of questions, six questions in all. And I'm just going to ask you, I don't know whether must I do that before these honorable members come back. Or maybe you must just allocate a question. My apologies, this is the last round of members to ask questions. So the first question will be asked by Honorable Minister, which will be question number one. The second question will be asked by Honorable Kaula, which will be question number three. The third question will be asked by Honorable Mokoto, which will be question number five. The fourth question will be asked by Honorable Kasim, which will be question number seven. The fifth question will be asked by Honorable Mwabi, which will be question number eight. And the last question will be asked by Honorable Manopole, which is question number nine. So this will be the last round. See the members are there. I'll say, honorable members, please let's resist the temptation to go in and out. Let's just remain here until we have invited the candidates. We have even flown them from wherever they are coming from to Cape Town. So the least we can do is to just afford them an opportunity to be interviewed in time that we have allocated them. Mr. Philip, it's now your opportunity to introduce yourself. I just want to know who you are, what is your background, educational qualifications, what can you offer to the NYT?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Yoshin Philip. Born in Pietermaritzburg, bred in Johannesburg, and educated in Cape Town. So I would like to think I've got somewhat of a national character. I have a Bachelor of Social Sciences degree from the University of Cape Town, majoring in political science and economics. And I have spent the last 6 years or so as the eighth former deputy chairperson of the NYTA, and as a former chairperson of the NYTA. And in those years, I've sat on all governing structures, from the board to committees. I've led initiatives of the NYTA. And I've gained a valuable set of skills, knowledge, and experience that I'm able to use, both locally and internationally, to lead the NYTA to greater heights. That, I think, combined with the values that I subscribe to, the values of Ubuntu and collective leadership, as I don't believe that with one can achieve much acting as an individual or in isolation. But also I believe that I'm quite a professional and principled person, and I'm someone of integrity. And with those principles and values, the knowledge, skills and experience that I have, and my passion for youth development, I strongly and firmly believe that I would certainly be able to lead the NYT.
Thank you very much. The first question, Honorable Mook.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Welcome, Mr. Philip. I will ask only one question. Could you briefly elaborate your understanding of the functions of the NYC in terms of the Act?
Thank you for the question. The Section 5 of the NYD Act provides for six functions of the NYD. That's the economic participation, in which the NYD must develop capabilities and corporate competencies to ensure that young people actively participate in the economy. Secondly, the National Youth Service and Social Cohesion. in which the NYD is responsible for promoting and classifying youth service amongst young people and building the brilliance of levels of trust and social capital. The NYD is also responsible for policy, governance and development, as well as policy research and development, as well as governance training and development, and for youth information, youth advisory information services, and the National Youth Bank. Over and above these six functions, the NYD is also required to provide mentorship services, career guidance services, and financial assistance to young entrepreneurs. Thank you.
No, it's fine. I think the gist of it is about the NYD Act, which I think is responded to that. Honorable Kaul.
Thanks, sir. Today, you of course know about the NYD, the NGT, and when you talk to the you already in the office to talk about young people in the country, that having them in the majority can be an advantage, but provided that they are profitably utilized in the country by offering them jobs. Now, taking into consideration the current labor market situation in the country, what can you recommend to ensure that public and private institutions prioritize the employment of young people, both skilled and unskilled, with the aim of reducing youth unemployment?
Well, the National Development Plan, which seeks to build a strong and capable developmental state, also speaks to the target of saying that some 13 million jobs in 2012 or 2013, I think, to the creation of 24 million jobs by 2030. And of course, at the center of that is a youth population that is the majority, given that the country is experiencing youth bias. Whereby we can either take, as quite correctly put it, take the opportunity and derive what is referred to as a demographic dividend. In this case, we have young people employed, productive, actively participating in the economy, and then generating savings and a productive economy from that. So part of that is to say, well, given the current context, etc., perhaps there is no silver bullet to addressing the issue of youth unemployment. Perhaps we need a multi-pronged strategy to creating more jobs for young people. And that multi-pronged strategy has got to take into consideration the legacies of the past, and so has to focus on education, skills, and second chance opportunities. It therefore also has to ensure that we change the culture and the mindset of young people to ensure that they have a young person who goes through perhaps a national youth service program in the interim and is able to foster social cohesion. We then also have to take into consideration that not every young person can be a professional and can be employed in the profession. We need young entrepreneurs. We need young entrepreneurs who will be able to create jobs so that we change this mindset of having too many young people being job seekers and more young people being job creators. And so we have to have a multi-pronged strategy that also focuses on youth entrepreneurship, on the other hand. And then we need an NYDA that is able to coordinate all the efforts to promote a uniform approach by all organs of the state, the private sector and civil society, aimed at employment creation for young people through the implementation of this multi-pronged strategy. We also need to ensure that we implement the Youth Employment Accord and the tenets of the Youth Employment Accord so that all stakeholders play their part in creating jobs for young people. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mokota.
Good morning. I just wanted to find out from you how would you ensure that good governance in the National Development Agency takes place if you are recommending looking at the five main principles of good governance, how do you intend to the NYDA to confirm all those principles going forward? Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I think actually one needs to understand what is governance before we can talk about good governance. And my understanding of governance is that it refers to the establishment of structures and processes with appropriate checks and balances. And if one is to then, you know, dive deeper into that, firstly, as a director on the board, one has to play his or her part in executing his or her fiduciary responsibilities, acting honestly, with care, and in the best interest of the community at the time. As one plays or executes his or her fiduciary responsibilities, and I think I've gained valuable experience in executing those fiduciary responsibilities over time, we then need to look at Section 12 of the NYDA Act, which speaks to the structure, the committees of governance. So we've got five of them in the Act, from the Executive Management Committee, the Human Resource and Remuneration Committee, Development Committee, and of course the Audit Committee, which is a requirement of the Public Finance Management Act. But if we are going to, and I think the NYDA has done extremely well to get first ever clean audit and second subsequent clean audit, how do we then improve on compliance? And improving on compliance means that the Act also allows the board to establish other structures. And so, you know, the King Three Codes of Governance emphasize, in terms of the principles of governance we spoke about, it emphasizes sustainability and transparency. But it also emphasizes IT governance and management. And so perhaps we need to go further. The board's responsibility is oversight over IT governance and management, for example. Establish other structures, such as the IT steering committee, which would exercise oversight over IT governance. One of the structures we put in place while I was the chair of the NYD was a social and ethics committee, which executed oversight over the implementation of the organizational value statement to ensure that the workers own the values of the organization and able to practice it. And so those are the structures that one speaks about in terms of governance. And then, you know, in terms of the processes, how do we ensure, first of all, compliance, adopting zero tolerance approach to non-compliance, so that you reduce the matters of non-compliance, ensure that you've got proper budgeting processes, procurement processes in place, and ensure there are adequate checks and balances. And I think with one, with those fiduciary responsibilities, together with the structures and processes and adequate checks and balances, we'll definitely be able to ensure good governance in NYC.
Thank you very much. One other question.
One of the main objectives of the NYDA Act is to develop an integrated youth development plan and strategy for South Africa, as well as to develop guidelines for the implementation of the strategy and make recommendations to the President. Elaborate on your understanding of the integrated youth development strategy and why the strategy.
Thank you for that question. Again, if I may start by defining what is a strategy. A strategy, to my understanding, is the direction that one, an organization ought to take in order to realize the vision that is contained in the policy. And so in this sense, the integrated development strategy would have the purpose of defining the direction that would need to be taken in order to realize the vision for youth development as contained in the National Youth Policy 2020. And so the Integrated Youth Development Strategy, as it is stating what is the direction, will address the question of how. How do we then implement what is contained in the National Youth Policy 2020? It will go further then to look at the pillars. What becomes the pillars of creating decent work opportunities for young people in terms of employment creation? What becomes the pillars of, you know, supporting and sustaining young entrepreneurs to drive youth entrepreneurship in the country? What becomes the pillars of promoting access to healthcare for young people, combating crime and substance abuse, etc. But a strategy will go further to talk about the programs and campaigns that will be required to do so. And in an integrated way, the NYDA will then have to play that function of ensuring that it is not only the state that respond to the direction, but it's also the private sector and civil society coordinated by the NYP in realizing what the policy vision would be as contained in the National Youth Policy 2020.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Honorable Juan.
Thank you, Chair. Questions to Mr. Philip. My question is based on the youth policy, the National Youth Policy 2015-2020 vision. And I will not even leave the background of my question. I hope you know the policy I'm talking about. But I want you to share with the panel your understanding of the objectives of the National Youth Policy 2015-2020, and also give us your own view as to how the board should achieve these objectives. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, the National Youth Policy 2020 as a policy seeks to provide a framework for purposes of decision making on matters of youth development. And it does so, the new policy, 2015-2020, does so by embracing a new approach to youth development. An approach that says you want a hand up and not hand out. An approach that says young people must start to take leadership and take responsibility for their own development. And then secondly, youth development is not simply the business of the state, but youth development is the business of all stakeholders. Having said that, the National Youth Policy very importantly defines the vision which the Integrated Youth Development Strategy will seek to achieve. And that vision is that of integrated, holistic, and sustainable youth development to build a non-racial, non-sexist, and democratic South Africa in which the true potential of youth and organizations are realized in both economic, social, and political spheres, but also in terms of their responsibility in contributing of the responsibilities of young people and organizations in contributing to a better life for all. That's the vision that has been outlined in the National Policy 2020. Now, there are also policy proposals that are made, and the policy proposals are made in five areas of youth development. It is made in terms of economic participation and transformation. Proposals are made with respect to healthcare and combating of alcohol and substance abuse, with respect to nation building and social cohesion, with respect to education skills and second chance opportunities for young people, and with respect to the optimization of youth development machinery for effective service delivery and greater responsiveness. And then comes the second part of your question, the role of the NYDA in terms of Section 3 of the NYDA Act, object is firstly to develop the integrated youth development strategy for the country and which will seek to implement the policy vision, but also to develop the guidelines for the implementation of this policy framework. And that is contained in Section 3 of the NYD Act. And so the NYD will have to play that function in terms of developing the guidelines for the implementation of the policy framework. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Last question by Honorable Manopo.
Thank you, Chair. Good day, Mr. Chair. My question is just come after the National Youth Policy. It deals basically on the principles of youth development, those principles. Taking to NYDA Act and National Youth Policy, basically highlights the youth development principles. So, based on the previous years, that there's been perception that the NYDA is there to serve certain youth sectors. So, because of the perception is there, what can be done to change the perception among the youth? And should it be appointed to be a board member, what are you going to ensure that the leadership together as a collective of the board members will consistently abide and guide the principles of youth development without prejudice to ensure that also the perception is in their work.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Well, I think in the last 3 years, certainly a lot of progress has been made in terms of stabilizing the NYT and improving its credibility and integrity. What now needs to be done is to build on that strong foundation of compliance, improve compliance, but also combine that with enhancing performance and also fostering innovation. So one of the things that one would need to do in order to change perception is to look at the build on those areas that need to be enhanced. So for example, the NYT would have to improve its accessibility to rural youth. That will require a significant level of infrastructure development. If the NYT is to be located in all corners of the country, in all communities, and respond to the 21 million or so young people out there, it will need infrastructure. Youth development as well is a people-driven service, and so you need people, personnel. And at times, the unrealistic expectations on place on the NYT to respond to a youth population of more than 21 million with a budget of just over 480 million rand really is, does not make sense. And so one needs to be innovative, and so we want to foster innovation. How do we work with the private sector? How do we work with civil society better? How do we then develop new programs, new projects, especially for a certain targeted group? How do we do more for youth and disability? How do we address issues of teenage pregnancy, etc.? And as the accessibility of the NYD improves, as the inefficiencies are addressed, as the turnaround times of programs improve, so too will public perception, as young people will start to feel the impact of the NYD on the ground. Youth development, unfortunately, Chair, is not a goal, it's a process, and it's an ongoing process. And this process will continue as time goes on until we start to make a significant impact on the lives of the majority of young people. We're making a big impact on the majority of many young people's lives, some who never had support from the state before. But we will need to get to the stage of actually making impact on the vast majority of young people through a coordinated approach with a multi-pronged strategy and the implementation of the NYD Act, the National Youth Policy 2020, and the Integrated Youth Development Strategy. Certainly we will be able to change perception. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the last question. I would just want to find out from members if there's any member would like to ask a follow-up. None. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Pardon?
Taken one, mm-hmm. Our casting has taken one.
Our standing one of them has been attacked. The essence of them has had no opportunity.
Okay. If there's nobody, you can then the second last bite, I'm sure.
No, okay. Thanks, Mr. Good afternoon, I think. I've had the political attacking of what needs to be done. I don't want to go too practical. And I'll respectfully say that she's been part of the NYTA project. If you think about rural youth and access, and I'm sure you would probably consider this, what actually needs to be done? This detail it. What's the roadmap? Because we lament about its national footprint of the NYT, we lament about its presence in terms of which are registered and so on year. So that being the case, what are the bottlenecks that are there that would prevent the NYT from being visible? So that we can actually do justice to eating up
your okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Chair. Well, I think firstly, unblocking the blockages requires identifying what are those blockages and actually realizing and taking notice. And so, an NYD branch doesn't fall from the sky. It requires capital, it requires an investment to be made in order for an accessibility of the NYD.
So we've got to invest more into youth development if we want to build up. So you can have the most efficient organization in the world for that matter, but you've got to invest in it. You've got to put the money where into infrastructure, etc., to improve accessibility. Alternatively, you can do what the NYD has been doing, which is to form partnerships with local municipalities, have local access points, and that will improve the accessibility so that you start to see them and feel the NYD on the ground. The youth policy has gone a long way in embracing a new approach. It says that youth development can never be the business of the state alone. I mean, for far too long, that has always been the case. The private sector has got to play a role in practice, as you put it. The civil society has got to play a role in practice. And we've got to have joint programs coordinated by the NYT if we're going to make a difference on the lives of young people. We then need to also identify what works and scale that up. We know there are a number of programs in the NYT that have been working, the business grant program, for example. It's not enough. It's not enough because we want to scale it up. We need to scale it up. You reach 1.2 million young people with information to access opportunities. It's not enough because the youth population is 21 million. You supported last year, I think it was 43,000 young entrepreneurs. The year before it was 62,916. That's almost more than 100,000 young entrepreneurs with financial and non-financial assistance. Again, not enough if you want to have young entrepreneurs creating jobs for other young people. So we've got to have this multi-pronged approach in practice, not just on paper. And we've got to ensure that we implement the national youth policy and we actually develop and implement the integrated youth development strategy and scale up to reach the numbers we want to reach in the future. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Pillay. That was the last question. We're glad to thank you for coming. As you know, after this, we are going to deliberate and prepare our report to both houses of Parliament. And after Parliament has approved the recommendation, will go to the President. And then after the President has approved, you'll then be given official notification if you are. But of course, the parliamentary process is an open process. When we deliberate, it is open to the public and the media. So I'm sure you might be able to get even the outcome of the deliberations and the report. The report gets ATC. So Parliament is a very transparent institution. I'm sure you'll get that. But officially, after the President has approved, if he does approve, then we'll communicate to those who are successful. Thank you very much for coming. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the opportunity that was provided to us.
Okay.